This is your NPR News Station, 90.3 WBHM, 91.5 WSGN. I'm Esther Chiamakili. It seems you can't turn a corner in Alabama without seeing a billboard advertising for a personal injury lawyer. These advertisements are just as prevalent on local television. The practice has proven to be a lucrative business builder, but it also carries a professional stigma. Here to talk more about this and other news is Nick Patterson, editor of the weekly newspaper Weld. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Esther.
So up until 1977, lawyers were actually forbidden from advertising. What happened to change that?
Well, in 1977, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in the case of Bates versus the State Bar of Arizona, a case that basically resulted in lawyer advertising getting the protections of the First Amendment. Many lawyers didn't advertise, but that Supreme Court decision opened up the door for those who wanted to.
You mentioned that, you know, there were lawyers that chose not to advertise, and that's that stigma that's attached to legal advertising. Talk about that. What is the stigma? Where does it come from?
If you think about it, obviously, for a long time, it wasn't really possible to advertise on television, and it was possible to advertise on radio and in the newspaper. But attorneys viewed their profession as one that was above that in some way, and viewed lawyers who sort of violated that standard as being ambulance chasers. And in fact, that's a term that came to represent lawyers who went after business in ways that were viewed as unscrupulous. So many lawyers, very old school, looked at advertising on television as being inappropriate. And so they frowned on it.
Talk about some of the rules involved in legal advertising. What is permissible and what isn't?
Well, obviously, when you look at these commercials, you can see that naked appeal to hire me is certainly okay. What lawyers can't do is to suggest that the services they offered are superior to the services offered by some other attorney who's not advertising on television. And while frequently you may not notice it because of all the other shenanigans going on the screen, usually down in the bottom of the screen in small print, you can see that disclaimer that basically makes it okay under the Alabama State Bar rules. They can't claim that they're offering a guaranteed victory because that's something that they tend to, that tends to vary. You know, personal injury lawyers negotiate many, many settlements. 90%, 95% of their cases wind up as settlements, the cases that they take.
So they don't go to court.
Right. So going to trial costs more money, it takes more time, and if they can negotiate a settlement, then they get in and out of each case quicker, do a volume business, and get paid.
And that's how
quickly
they get paid, too.
Yeah.
Most of these personal injury lawyers don't get paid until they settle your claim.
Yeah, which is, you know, one of the nice come-ons for taking them on as your attorney.
Well, moving on to your column, Journalism 101, where you talk about some of the resources available to help teach people how to spot fake news.
Once upon a time, people were more aware of the way that news works and were more familiar with the mechanisms used by real journalists to present news to them. And so they could see very clearly what made sense. Today, there are a lot of people who are actually putting out things that they know are not true, and they're dressing them up as if they are true, as if they are real news. There are a number of organizations like factcheck.org, and they're a good source. They even have talked about how to spot fake news, and we ran some piece of that in Weld. There are others as well that are specifically focused on kids and on students and on teaching young people how to parse through all of the clutter on the internet and come up with what's real news. So, for example, the American Press Institute, which is one of the organizations that works really hard through Newspaper and Education Week to educate kids in particular on how to use newspapers, really has a list of things that you can look at to determine whether or not the news is real or fake. They've got a whole bunch of bullet points there that we kind of ran through in my piece. There's another organization called Newzella, which does the same thing. The News Literacy Project is a place where you can go, and it really is focused on both literacy and news literacy. So there are a number of organizations that are out there right now really focused on trying to help people see how to determine what's real and what's not real.
Nick Patterson is editor of the weekly newspaper Weld. Their latest issue is out now. Nick joins us most Thursdays during All Things Considered here on WBHM. Nick, thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, Esther.